Glen Lapa Station. Glen Lapa Station. Good afternoon and welcome. We've read your original written submission, so you don't need to reread that to us, but you're welcome to speak to it and outline key points for us.
No, good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. We really appreciate this opportunity to be part of this process. Glen Lapa Station, owned by Charlie and his wife, Emma. My wife and Pam and I, we live on the station as well. And like this plan, Glen Lapa itself is complex. And this is a complex plan. It's a whole area of complexity. And we've tried today just to try and keep this presentation simple, because it could get completely out of hand very easily, and which we didn't want to do. So we do have some important perspective things that we want to get across, and we've just got some slides to prompt us to talk them through with you, and then we're happy to discuss them in more detail. So, how are you, Capital?
Okay, we highly value our efforts towards water quality, land quality, and animal welfare. You know, we're passionate about what we do, and we want to do it for a long time. So, and we've always worked closely with the LSO and the Tara River Works Inspector. And part of what we enjoy about farming is working with enjoyable people, and you know, we've learned a lot off these guys. We're currently in the middle of a development consent for our high country, and that involves spraying and mechanically clearing some scrub and pasture renewal and creating QE2 areas. So that I think we're about four years old. Mm-hmm. So the start of that process was having a farm tour with a councillor, a couple of Environment South and Fish and Game, DOC. There was about three vehicles, and I was a bit nervous about that process, but really enjoyed it and learned a lot out of it. And so as part of that, the only part I didn't really like was actually the consent process. That was pretty painful, but I felt that everyone got it, you know, and the LSO was a big part of that. And in every year when we go to look at what we're going to do for the next season, he was part of that, and just I really enjoyed it, you know. That's it's part of what I enjoy about farming is working with these guys. Yes, I felt that really enjoyable, and of course we're willing to maintain these efforts in these regards. If you want to ask questions in between, break it up, more than welcome.
We'll just wait till the end, we'll let you go, and then we'll ask questions if it's okay.
Okay. Also part of this, you know, we have some concerns about this current plan. Mm-hmm. Having a generic plan that's very broad, you know, obviously there's lots of, and for us, we're a high country station, we don't have any dairy, grain or cropping, so it's getting it all right with the have to be quite thorough. So there's a couple of points that we want to sort of focus on, and so we strongly disagree with our classification as Old Matera. It doesn't reflect our soil type, which is clay based. This is on part of our farm that's intensive. It's it runs sort of with the Matera River, but it's up on another terrace. We're concerned as, you know, the basis which this assessment was made. We think that the physiographic zones should be excluded from the plan just to make it the future change easier. We strongly disagree with policy 18, the stocking restrictions. For us, three quarters of our farm is in the hills in the high country, and where a certain section of it is just below 8 stock units to the hectare, but a lot of that's about 4 stock units to the hectare and below. have, you know, because we've got hundreds of creeks. One of the advantages, I believe, of our places is that many springs that pop up all over the hill country. But to fence them off, it would be, you know, uneconomic for us, and having a water system through there would be uneconomic. So, but I don't, I agree with the intensive side of farming, that we need to exclude stock. And so, what, you know, instead of having a sheep and a cattle fence down either side, maybe just have a sheep on one side and a cattle fence on the other side, so the sheep can sort of keep it a bit cleaner. So, and we're currently working at that, you know, with forestry in, and every change in paddocks where, you know, we're changing the fences to put up against these creeks and things. We just need time to do that, and to have a too short a restriction just makes it a bit financially tougher.
23.
Have I missed that one? Oh, yep, so. Strongly disagree with Rule 23. Yeah, the 20 hectares and or 50 hectares, depending on what your farm soil type is classified. Well, we strongly disagree that we're actually old material, but so that would, if we could test, because I don't think there's been any tests done on our part of the, and, you know, that's classed as old material. So 20 or 50 hectares restriction, you know, for us, we haven't got much of the farm that we can actually crop effectively, so it makes sense to us to have around about that 20% of the areas that you could crop. But,
apparently, prior to this draft of the plan, the basis was a percentage basis, and unbeknownst to anybody, it changed.
Yeah.
So there was an element of agreement to a percentage basis. And it's just that it's hard to see a generic plan applying to everybody's circumstances when you're dealing with quite diverse farming operations.
Mm. Is it changed in Plan 42, which I haven't read?
No, it's still a cap, but they've recommended 50 hectares across the board as a threshold below which you can be a permitted activity, and above which you might need, or you would need a resource consent.
Okay.
That's the current recommendation to us, but of course our minds are totally open on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the 20's gone, is it?
Yeah.
So my recommendation.
Well, it's recommended
this
to be gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We might bring it back.
So my recommendation for us would be to work with the LSO in the farm management plan, nutrient budgets, agree with all that, but because every farm is so different, and having, I know that the LSOs are going to have something to fall back on as boundaries, but you know, It's good to work with them to see what you can do, and or, you know, next time. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's no rush. We've got plenty of time.
Rush.
So. Yep. Just take your time.
Yep. Rule 25 over mechanical cultivation over 20 degrees. I suppose for us, we've got huge amounts over 20 degrees. And to me, each time we, in part of our development consent on our hill country, you know, there's some steeper stuff, but it just rolls straight into a flatter bit with, you know, that can be caught. So it's just that's why I think the LSO is so important, where you can see that it just makes, it's a no-brainer that, okay, it's a wee bit steep, but that's fine, you know.
We can also appreciate that, yeah, and with an LSO going around every farm in Southland, et cetera, doing, you know, measurements. But maybe there's a different way of sort of categorising places so that they can, in fact, impose the requirements of ES at the same time as sort of meeting the objectives of what a farm's trying to achieve and how they're going to achieve it.
Yeah.
I think you should have less people in the consent office and have more LSOs.
We train all of us LSOs. And one in the consent office.
That answers my question.
Yeah, there are also several elements of this plan which require much, much clearer definition, so that your water bodies lacked and intensive. The adoption of the current plan for these elements alone could make the continuing farming of Glenapa unsustainable, and I suppose most of that is the cost side of it, with, due to excessive costs associated with reduced cropping capability, increased unreasonable fencing, increased unnecessary consenting processes.
Yeah, none of those have actually been assessed in terms of the actual costs, and we wouldn't be prepared to do that until realistic situations existed. But I'm sure you could appreciate the fact that trying to fence some of the waterways and that would be horrendous. Wouldn't even want to think about the numbers.
1,000 kilometres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a pretty good guess.
It unsustainable is a very important word there, because
I think there's something there with the different levels of stocking rates.
And the consenting process can be quite time-consuming on both sides. And on the side of, I've been involved with Charlie doing a number, and it's fairly painstaking. And you can understand sometimes why, but expanding it beyond what's required at the moment, that would be prohibitive. And I think you'd just find people throwing their hands in the air and saying, "I think I'll be a builder." Might be worse.
Okay, so we're firm believers in the nutrient management planning, and we'll continue to work as required with the LSO towards continuing development and maintenance of these plans. So we'll probably not seal that, but yep.
They're quite important, your LSOs. I mean, yeah. I hope you guys in there really understand and appreciate how valuable they are in terms of on the job. You know, they're right there talking to the farmer, looking at things. They'd be allowed to do all the measurements they ever wanted to do, use them. The one that comes to Glenapa is extremely, extremely good, realistic. Puts his foot down sometimes. I think what I, you know, just trying to avoid getting into so much detail about the actual constructs of the farm, etc., which I think would not only bore you to tears, it would probably bore us to tears and everybody else here. But just wanting to put this in perspective for you. Mm-hmm. There's four family homes plus quarters for four shepherds on the station. So it's a little village all in its life. And collectively it contributes a huge amount, injects significant funds into not only the direct local communities of Riversdale and Waikai and that sort of thing, but the whole of Southland and New Zealand. They are a major exporter of lambs, you know, like 14,000-16,000 this year. And so it's a major business enterprise. And that's an important factor to take into consideration. I'm sure that Nokamai and Glenairy and, you know, a lot of the others are also sort of, you know, getting these points. So we'd like to know whether and how Environment Southland has assessed the potential percentage of farming operations that could be lost in Southland if the current sustainable farming was reduced, which it potentially could be by some of these generic global parameters, which are very difficult to apply across the board. Yeah, we haven't got the solution, but there will be a solution, and it's just a matter of working it through and getting that solution. But to cast a web of parameters that will make farming unsustainable at certain levels will have a serious impact on farming operations in Southland, and consequently will have adverse impact on the economy of Southland. I would suspect that Environment Southland hasn't assessed these, and I suggest that they need to be assessed in some way to see if there will be adverse impact on the economies of Southland. Because if there are, then this is bigger than trying to figure out whether you can till up a slope or not. It's serious. We don't know the specific details of other submissions, but we're aware because we've been to meetings and heard other people and had a beer with a few that have been fairly difficult to understand, but they're supportive of the perspective that there's many elements of the plan that are seriously flawed and they require extensive review. And part of that review is really to say whether you could in fact have a plan that is so generic that it won't impact on any of the farming, or whether there are definitions like the physiographic definitions associated with particular farm types that will help you with that. But you know, I mean, you could do it at a reasonably high level that would at least allow some review to take place. So that to us is sort of quite major in terms of our perspective of the plan in general. And we worry about whether the working group actually has that sort of real on-the-job training, knowledge, experience of farming for many years in these situations, so that they're applying the logic and the reasoning to the construction of the plan, rather than trying to just put numbers down, which is sort of turning everybody off, quite frankly. And it's time to get them back on side. So that's a bit of a concern, and a lot of people have sort of mentioned that, you know, that they just sort of think of these numbers. I don't think they would have, but you know, it looks like that. So you're sort of losing a bit of integrity about the whole plan, which is quite important. So that's it in a nutshell. Thanks for letting us praise you.
No, that's very helpful.
And we wanted to just give you our perspective.
Which you have done very well. Shall we see if we have questions for you? Lloyd, can you start? Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at the numbers here that you mentioned in your submission, and Rule 23B567, and then again in 25A1. And my question is around, to pick up your point before, around numbers, different numbers, different situations. Would you see that those could be somehow brought together and standardised? In other words, where you work the ground is also where you'd be happy to put fodder crops on for intensive winter grazing.
Is that the degree slope?
Yes, the two numbers effectively give different setbacks and different degrees. And looking at your submission and your comments, it would seem to me that there could be some standardisation of that, but I'm just looking to see whether that is actually practically able to happen on the ground. People quote the 5 metre rule from years gone by, so yeah. Is there a commonality in thinking there, or are we looking at two very different numbers and they have very different consequences?
I would have to think that there could be commonality, because that would probably be the objective, to keep it simple, to keep it. And so, you know, I mean, it would need to be sort of talked through and worked through to see exactly how it would apply, but the intention would be to create commonality.
So effectively, where you work the ground would be where you put your fences, which is the same setback from a water body, excluding what you mentioned before, that some paddocks don't have a need for a setback because of the slope runs out, so that would be regarded as being different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Eric?
Yeah, thank you for your presentation. The plan as it sits now has some discretionary activities and some things that will require a consent. You talked about doing a consenting process for a development. Is there any advice, instruction or comment you want to make that would improve the consenting process, because it's been identified as a bit of a concern with some submitters?
Yeah, so let the LSOs have more, you know, because they got it all sorted. Well, as far as I was concerned, they had, you know, Nathan Crookshank was the LSO, he had it all sorted, and it was quite took a lot of time to get it through the consent, filling all the forms out. And we had to keep going back and questions, but we sort of had them all, felt we had them all nailed anyway. But I assume that
What I think you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's about developing a relationship with an LSO?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Without a doubt.
Rather than a formal construct around consent.
Well, sort of, I know at the end of the day, he seems to have boundaries for himself. You know, he's got to have someone to answer to, but they, that was you know, it felt like you, where you could make progress with the LSO, but you always felt like you had stumbling blocks with writing the consent out, which I was hoping to say anyway, and so he helped me a lot with.
Don't beat yourself up.
It took a lot of his time as well.
It needs to be sort of more management by exception, so that there'd be a large percentage of them would apply to the rules, the parameters that are set relative to a particular farming operation, and then you would manage by exception, so that if the LSO sees, wow, this is a bit different than my normal sort of beaten track, it might go into a different pathway for the management of that change. Otherwise, it just gets approved.
So you'd say clarity around process would also be another element of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because everybody, I think, feels that just you put a consent in and it just goes into a big vat, and someday it may come out. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that it's probably not like that, but I would certainly revise the process.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Just seeking clarity on your submission around exclusion of stock from waterways. You said you could agree with exclusion of stock from major major waterways. Is that in the more intensive area of your farm, or is the ferry to the likes of the Mataro?
Yeah, well, 15, 20 k's the boundary goes up the Mataro River, and then there's a dome around that back. So, and all of them are fenced off. Two wire fences because of the you know, they get flooded and wiped out. That's a no-brainer to me, especially that intensive crowd. Yeah.
And on your intensive winter grazing, and it's linked to a question on your cultivation, you're talking about slope of 40%. 40 degrees, so do you, is that because you've got a limited amount of area that you can cultivate, forces you up to 40 degrees, or
yes.
It is?
Yes, the consent we've got for our hill development, there's a lot of area we have, I haven't measured it, you know, but it'd be excessive of 20 degrees in some parts of it.
So what general percentage of your property would be intensive winter grass annually?
We put in about 100 hectares.
Which was probably like 10%.
Yeah, that's but not of our, that's, so the 100 hectares of our 500 of it's classed as the old Mataro at the moment, but over our whole, it's 5,000 hectares in total, so it's only small.
Yeah.
The total, but just the different areas, yeah.
So you run right to the head of the Mataro, or?
No, just up to past the Kilflat.
Right.
Just up past Wynn inside, yeah.
Yep. Thank you. I'm rocking your chair for geographic map. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. You talked a bit about nutrient budgeting. Are you talking about overseas, or are you just talking about a more generic type of thing?
No, I haven't actually done a nutrient budget. We're in the process of doing it until the LSO was pulled away to help the planners.
Yeah.
But no, that was, we're keen to go through that. Is it just and I haven't had anything to do with overseas, but it's like those sorts of things I see as a tool, but not as a be all and end all, but as a tool to use as a guide.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if Nathan's recommended that, then you know that would be taken on board and really utilised.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of planning that goes on the station in various forms of all sorts of things. So not averse to planning.
Yeah.
It said in your submission regarding Rule 25 that you say we believe cultivation should be removed from the plan. Was that, what do you mean exactly by that? Was that a typo or something?
I suppose it would. Was really just because it's a generic plan, and that's where I believe that it's that we can work that through with the LSO.
Yeah.
What parts? Because we're a 25 hectare block, for example, that we're going through a development process. Mm. You know, as parts of that are going to be marginal. There's no point us working it up. Is it steep or it's rocky or is it, water, spring popping up or something like that. So we work through that with them. Then we work out what areas we can leave and so to have a generic plan, then to me it doesn't make sense. We can sort of sort that out anyway.
Right, it's been done by a plan. I was going to ask, is there a difference between cultivating at a certain slope at a low altitude compared to a high altitude? Because you've got pretty high country in your place.
Yeah, well, and I suppose it's the different types of cultivation that we're using. We're using mechanical as well as spray and pray. Mm. And that's obviously the spray and pray is on the steeper stuff. You can't get the mechanical. Mm. Yeah, and it depends on the soil types and how, what sort of buffer zones you need and where the waterways are. Because each paddock's different. Mm. Very different.
Okay. Yeah. Eric sort of asked this question before, but I wonder if I could put it in a different way. You're talking about your LSOs. If they say you can't do something, and you think you should be able to do it, what happens then?
Well, don't do it, of course. No, but no, it's a working in progress, and he'll explain to me why we can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're happy to accept that?
Yeah, well, there's a weird logical reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've built up a pretty good relationship, and,
yeah.
Mm. And if he's got to say he can't, then he can't, yeah.
Right.
And it's up to me to make sure the contractor doesn't.
Thanks very much, it's been very helpful.
Mm. Yeah, thanks very much for coming in. Your submission was really clear and you've clarified some further points for us verbally, so that's really great, but I don't have any further questions for you. So thanks very much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.